Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 775, Chatur Atma. Chatur means four, and Atma, well, that's the question, isn't it? How the name is understood. Atma, we generally know, refers to the individual self or the supreme self. These are the two general meanings. It can also refer to the body and the mind. This name already occurred way back also, as several of these names did, in the verse 15, name 139. And we're going to find in this discussion of this name some clear overlapping from the other names. But it's not exactly repetition, but it's looking at the same aspects of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, looking at different, similar aspects from a somewhat different angle. Now, as I've said many times, Parashara Bhatta, what's going on? We have some names that occur more than once in Vishnu Sahasranam, but the different commentators, they explain them in different ways in different places to avoid redundancy. In other words, they say that each name, it's given the same name, sometimes the same name is given, but it has a different import each time. Some names twice, three, and I think there's even one with four. So, Parashara Bhatta does it by he groups the names. Just like previously, these names came up, Chatur Gati, Chatur Atma, Chatur Vyuha. So he grouped a series of names in a series of verses. He'll group them together and explain them in the same way. Just like now, this present series of names, name 775, 697 to 786, he's explaining in terms of the Vibhava incarnation of Lord Krishna. That means that the avatar of Krishna as he appears in this world. And previously, he explained these so specifically in relation to him. And then previously, he'd explained these names in terms of his Vyuha incarnations, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Parashara Bhatta, he groups 44 groups of names he picks out. 44 themes, you can say, like 44 petals of a beautiful lotus flower. And Shankaracharya, he also explains each name differently if they occur more than once, but he doesn't do as Parashara Bhatta does, not thematically. He takes each name individually, although sometimes he relates one name which is next to the other. It's a great subject, actually. You could do a huge study of Vishnu Sahasranam, but mostly, although the commentators, they go deeply and they explain, but mostly the understanding of those who are commentating and those who speak on it is simply relishing the names, and along with that, naturally, the forms, the qualities, and the pastimes, and the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's an accepted convention that in a Sahasranama or whatever it may be, there may be Shatanama, 100 names. But if the name occurs more than once, it's an accepted convention that the commentators, they show how the same name occurs in different places, but they give it with a different understanding. So there are four. We're having these names. Now we have Chaturama before. We had Chatur Bahu and Chatur Gati. So we have a lot of fours, and naturally the same kind of fours are coming up again. The Purusharthas, the four Varnas, coming up again and again. Now, we had Chaturvyuha, but Parashara Bhatta explains that the Chatur Atma name also refers to the Chaturvyuha, the four forms, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And we may say that, well, isn't that then a repetition? But, if I can just find the point, here's this. Four. Yeah, he's specifying that this is Krishna, Vasudeva, and then the others expand from him. So he who has four forms specifically means, previously explained the Chaturvyuha as being the expansions from Paravasudeva, but here he explains them as being expansions from Krishna. And in this way, there's no redundancy. Then four manifestations. He also gives the another meaning, Chaturatma, four manifestations in his Vibhav, his avatars as Krishna and Rama. Now you may think, well, the Krishna, yeah, four again, Krishna, Balaram, that's Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And Rama means, then we have Ram, Bharat, Lakshman, Shatrughna. So it must be that. But no, they say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead makes himself available for the experience of the devotees in the four states of experience. That these forms of the Lord, they are manifested to the devotees in the waking state, in the dream state, so the devotees, they dream of Krishna. Even in the state of deep sleep, the devotee never forgets Krishna. And in the transcendental state, when the devotee completely transcends all mundane modes, then definitely he's fully experiencing Krishna. So according to the capacities of the devotees, not everyone's going to be dreaming of Krishna. But if we speak of Krishna and act for Krishna, then it's natural that whatever we meditate upon, that becomes one with our internal consciousness. And we'll come to that a little later in this description. So he manifests himself to the devotees in four kinds of states, and it's four states of awareness. And particularly we can think of the these forms, Krishna and Rama, because they perform such enchanting pastimes that we can very easily fill our minds with remembrance of them. Whereas to meditate on the form of the Lord as the yogis do, it's more difficult to capture in the mind. That's why bhakti directly, hearing about Krishna, and then automatically one becomes absorbed in thoughts of his pastimes. And then what to speak of meditating on the impersonal Brahman. And then what, that's getting pretty difficult to meditate upon, so just some light. And then it gets even more, it gets really wacko in the Zen Buddhist kind of meditation, meditating on the sound of one hand clapping. That's just designed to give you a nervous breakdown, almost literally. To break down one's whole scheme of experience, and then you're supposed to get Satori. We don't have anything to do with that. We like to hear about the pastimes of Krishna. And then that becomes a natural meditation for the devotee. And then if we think all day and we're thinking about that, and then naturally at night we should dream. And then in all states of consciousness. There's Janmashtami and festival days like this. Special days for especially hearing and chanting about Krishna. Every day should be, but some days they're specially dedicated to that. You can hear in the background in the temple here, this in Nellore, Tamil Nadu. Kirtan is going on, and so many people are coming and having darshan, joining the kirtan, taking prasad. The committed devotees are fasting until midnight. Many are taking books, and then they want to take Bhagavatam, so we'll arrange that afterwards. So it's a great opportunity to remember Krishna. If we don't have the opportunity to be in a preaching engagement, then we can, at home, we can listen to talks about Krishna like this one, and we can chant more rounds. We can prepare so many preparations for offering to Krishna. The whole point is to be absorbed in Krishna so that in waking and sleeping and even in deep sleep, when there's supposed to be no remembrance of anything, but the great devotees, they think of Krishna in that state. And then the Turiya state, the completely transcendental state, Radha Krishna Pranamo Jugala Kishore Jibane Marone Gati Anahimo. In life and death, our very life is Radha and Krishna. So that's the stage of the pure devotees. Krishna kindly comes so that we can see and hear and remember him. Srimanti Gayanti Grinanti Abhikshnasa Smaranti Nandanti Tamehi Tanjanaha Taeva Pashanta Chirena Tava Kam Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padambuja. Kunti Devi says, oh, you very kindly appear, Krishna. And she'd given so many reasons for Krishna to appear. What about this one? You appear so that people in future, up to the present day, Kunti talks about us right here now, so many years later, that we can hear about Krishna, we can glorify Krishna, and we can sing about Krishna. Srinivanti Gayan, and accept that in our hearts. Grinanti cha svacheshtitam, elsewhere in Bhagavatam says, we make an endeavor to accept that in our hearts, the topics of Krishna. So Krishna gives that opportunity, and by doing so, naturally we remember Krishna with great happiness. And in this way, we're able to see Krishna very soon, very soon. And then we can go to Krishna. Krishna is so kind. He appears in this world just to remind us, I'm here, remember me? Your real friend? Here I am, Krishna, Rama. Then Shankaracharya explains in the previously, way back, he says that he has a fourfold manifestation in his functions of creating, maintaining, and destroying the world. And he explains that there are, for creation, there's Brahma, right? Yes, but there's Brahma, and then the Prajapatis like Daksha and others. And time, Krishna is the form of time, is also because creation, maintenance, and destruction take place in time. So the four factors how Krishna manifests for creation. Brahma, Daksha and other Prajapatis, time, and all creatures. All creatures, they're created and they create in terms of giving birth to others. Then in preservation, Vishnu, Manu, and others, they're in the administration department. So they're working under Vishnu to help preserve the universe. And so many demigods are there. Time is a factor, again. And all creatures, they all partake in preservation. So in this way, Vishnu manifests his energy for preservation or the ongoing unfoldment of the universe. Then for the dissolution of the universe, it's the Rudra, Shiva destroys, but it's the power of Vishnu by way he does that. And then Yamaraj and others, he doesn't destroy the universe, but he destroys. Actually, how does Yama destroy? What does he do? He destroys the gross sinful reactions of others by giving them punishment. And others also assist in that. And time and all creatures. And Shankara doesn't just make this up out of the top of his head. None of these commentators do. They always quote from Shastra to substantiate their point. So Shankara, he in this instance, he quotes from Vishnu Purana to show how Vishnu manifests himself in four ways, in creation, in preservation, and in destruction. Then another meaning given by Shankaracharya, that he takes chatur to mean chaturya, which means skill, cleverness. So chatur atma, he is very skilled in keeping his atma, his self, distant from, detached from matter. Whereas the conditioned souls, we don't have that. Therefore, the atma becomes, even though asango hi ayang purusha, by quality, by nature, the atma, the jiva, has no touch with matter, but we appear to be. We feel as if we are attached to matter, but Vishnu is very expert in keeping himself free from all of that, from the attachments and aversions. He remains in his position. Etadishanam ishasya prakriti stho pitad gunai na yujyate sadatmasthaihi. Even though, that is his quality of his godness is manifested. His position as being the Supreme Lord is manifested in the fact that he appears within the material nature, but he's not affected by it. He's sadatmasta. He remains always in his position as he is the Supreme Personality of Sadatmastaya, yatabuddhistadashraya. And those who have taken shelter of him, his devotees, they have the same mentality because they're attached to Krishna. They don't become attached to this material world. So these names, they're very helpful also for us to gain insight into how we can advance in Krishna consciousness and attain the proper goal of life. By discussing these names, so many important points come out. Now, another interpretation given by Shankara, Shankara refers to manas, chitta, buddhi, and ahankara. These are the four antakaranas, or internal, they're called the internal organs. We have the organs of the body, such as the heart, the liver, the kidney, the lungs, the brain, the skin. These are the organs of the body. But they're the internal organs also. Of course, all those organs which I just mentioned, apart from the skin, they're internal, but they're inside the skin. But then even further inside are the mind, manas, buddhi, the intellect or the intelligence, and the citta, or the overall consciousness, and the ahankara, and the ego. So, what's going on? These are the thinking process, the thought process. How does that function? How does that function? It's because of Vishnu. He's behind it all. That's how Shankara explains this name, Chaturatma. That's another meaning. That the Atma can mean mind, intelligence, the soul. So he takes this to mean he analyzes the consciousness in these four ways, which is a standard way. And another commentator, Radhakrishna Shastri, elaborates on this point, that the mind function involves thinking of doing something. It's more specifically, not mentioned here, sankalpa and vikalpa. Should I do it or shouldn't I do it? The buddhi function is one of... Well, the mind is closer to the senses, in which the mind tends to, yeah, I want that. I don't want that. But the buddhi, the intelligence, analyzes and doesn't just act impulse. It prevents us from acting impulsively. The citta function is one of drawing on prior experience in the executing of something. And that will come in the next explanation, just like we don't know how can we explain how a newly born child seeks the breast of his mother, but that's due to the impetus given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, based on the prior experiences. We've done it before. My dear mother, how many dear mothers have we had? Asked this son of Chitraketu when he was brought back to life, and when the son was brought back to life, and Chitraketu said, "My son, my son." The baby brought back to life said, what are you talking about? Who are you? I'm your father. Which father? I had so many fathers. In this way, the child gave spiritual instruction to his father. And our ahankara is, in this context, egoism is the feeling of accomplishment. After one thinks of something, thinking, feeling, willing, thinks of something, works out how to do it, and then resolves, yes, and actually does it. And then, yeah, I did it. Ahankara. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Ahankara. It's because of ahankara that we think, yeah, I did it. Kartaham iti manyate. He thinks I did it. He doesn't think that, well, I just can't do anything just by myself. The three modes are influencing me, and I'm working in the world of matter. So that sense, I am the doer, is the sense of egoism. Then, getting quite technical now, Radha Krishna Shastri, based on text from Nrsingottara Tapani Upanishad, quotes that he manifests himself in four forms. Vishnu manifests himself in four forms to support the jiva in his four states of Vishva, Tejasa, Pragya, and Turiya, which, again, there's overlapping. We discussed this just previously in a previous name. Vishva, this refers to the gross body of which the jiva acquires in this world, or appears to acquire in this world within the Vishva, and that is supported by Vishnu in his form as Virat. We're all working within the universal form of Vishnu. Then the combined form of Vishnu, Vishva and Virat is Ota, Ota Prota, the warp and the weave of the fabric. Then he supports the Sukshma Sharira, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, in the form of Taijasa. That is called Sutra. We've had these technical terms in previous names also. So this combined manifestation is called Anugyata, or the secondary or subsequent knower. Then the Karana Sharia is the dimension of the soul, also called Pragya, which is responsible for memories from a previous birth, such as the memory of the newborn child crying, knowing that I cry and then my mother will give me milk from her breast. Then the support of the manifestation of his self, Vishnu, that supports the Karana Sharia of the soul. That means that it's the soul who goes from body to body to body. And the sum total of his experiences and desires and reactions, they are the cause of his getting a new body. And this is as stated in Bhagavatam, Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deho Papateya, according to previous activities and desires under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and his assistants, the living being in this world gets a new kind of body. So that's being mentioned here. So that's another aspect. And then going past all these aspects, when one actually comes to the platform of Brahma Gyan, when one becomes self-realized and doesn't identify with the body which gets born again and again and again, then that the inspiration for that also comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a lot more technical discussion. The point is that the first three, if properly channeled and utilized, lead to the fourth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another commentator giving reference from Markandeya Purana declares that the Paramatma enters the bodies of all creatures with the four forms of Vishva, Taijasa, Pragya, and Turiya. So he's giving evidence for this. And again, associates that with waking, dreaming, deep sleep, and the state above all the others, the liberated state. So the commentators giving similar explanations, but taking it in a different, somewhat different angle. Then, he is the indweller within the heart, he is the antaryami, the atma of the four types of devotees: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and one who is in knowledge. The four kinds of devotees are almost devotees. Actually, the Gyani is a devotee, or very quickly becomes one. whereas the other three, they're on the way because they approach Krishna. And Krishna, he's within the heart of all living beings, but this Chaturatma, this name particularly, draws attention to the fact that he manifests himself, or he is within the heart of these four kinds of devotees. He starts to reciprocate with them. He does anyway, he reciprocates, but in a more distant way with every living being. He reciprocates by giving bodies according to our desires and the fruits of our work, but he starts to personally interact with everyone who approaches him, even if they start approaching him just for money. He is so kind. Then another commentator, Satyasandha Yati Raja, gives a similar meaning, but he's also the cause of the four kinds of desire within these people. In other words, we have a desire, but everything sarva karana karanam, the ultimate cause of desire and is Krishna himself. He has desire, so we have desire. How those desires manifest, that is also influenced by our previous activities and impressions. It's extremely complex. You'd need a super computer just to keep track of all the different impressions and thoughts within one living being. And Krishna does it for all of them and brings them all together, and they interact with each other, nourishing each other's desires or destroying each other's karma by giving enjoyment or suffering. Krishna oversees it all. And particularly for those who approach him, he nourishes that desire. Someone may come with a desire, I want some money, okay, let's go to Krishna. Let me go to Krishna. He's got a lot of money. Let me get some from him. But Krishna, within the heart of such a person, he starts to nourish the desire for Krishna. And it comes automatically from Krishna because he's so attractive. People become attracted to him, even if they come with ulterior motives. Baladev Vidyabhushan translates the word atma here as effort. So his effort is toward manifesting the dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, these four of the devotees. And I just discussed that in a previous name, that for a devotee, dharma means sarvadhamman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja, surrendering to Krishna. Artha means dhanmar nityananda, our wealth is nityananda, that means we all know nityananda, the brother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda is also a name for Krishna. It simply means who is always blissful. So for a devotee, his wealth is Krishna and devotional service. His only desire is to serve Krishna. And liberation means, for a devotee, means he accepts it if he has the opportunity to serve Krishna. So his effort is to fulfill all these for the devotees, that they will attain their dharma of serving him, they'll attain their wealth, they'll become very wealthy by attaining Krishna, they'll fulfill their desire to kiss Krishna or massage his feet or prepare food for him or garlands for him or whatever. There's so many ways to serve Krishna. And if they want liberation for the sake of serving him, he'll also be very happy to give that. Now, another meaning given by Satyasandha Yati Raja, this is a very different meaning. Chatur meaning someone is similar to what Shankara gave in the sense of being very expert. So he created the four-faced being who is just clever, suitable for the purpose of creation. He's very expert in doing that. And so, that's the meaning. He created a person who's suitable for this work of creation. The four-faced Brahma, four heads. So then, Chatur. It means, Chatur means here, who is Kushal. Kushal means, and it's the four-headed Brahma in this universe also. Then, four kinds of Atmas. He manifests himself as four kinds of Atmas. There's another explanation. Jiva, Antaratma, Paramatma, Gyanatma. This is from Satya Sanda Yati Raj, who seems to have seen all the other previous interpretations and thinks, well, let's go further, let's find some more. And with every name, he gives unique understandings. So, Chaturatma, because he has all the qualities of the four types of Atma, or he is the Atmatma, the Atma of the Atma, the being of the living being. So he says there are four kinds of living being. The Atma, who is the Jiva, Paramatma. This is taken up and explained further by yet another commentator. The Paramatma is, in one sense, that the Jiva is part of, the Jiva is Krishna in one sense. Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We're going to have the name Jiva coming up in Vishnu's hand. One of the names of Krishna, Jiva. So, in the form of the Atma, he resides in the heart. We reside. And then, as the Antaratma, he also resides in the heart with the Jiva. Paramatma here refers to the Supreme Soul, from whom all the jivas and the form of the Lord within every heart manifests. And Gyanatma, he explains with reference to Taittiriya Upanishad, Satyam Gyanam Ananta Brahma. And then again from, is that Brihadaranyaka or Chandogya? I get mixed up. I think it's Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. There's pranamai, manamai, anamai, vijnanamai, and anandamai. So Gyanatma is a manifestation of the Lord, one level of consciousness, the Gyana stage. And he again, not simply speculating, that he quotes, this is the commentary of one Raghavendra, and he quotes Brihat Sanghita. This is to distinguish between Atma and Antaratma as distinct manifestations of Lord Sri Hari. Atma Antarama iti Harir Eka Eva Dvividha Stitaha Nivishto Hridaye Nityam Rasam Pibati Karmajam. So this is similar to the verse from Kathopanishad and other Upanishads of the two birds in the tree, although it's not particularly mentioned birds or tree here. But the point is that the Supreme Lord in two forms, or two, the Atma and the Antarama, they're two forms who, they're both Hari, but they're situated in two ways. They both enter the heart of the living being, and where specifically the individual soul drinks the juice of his karmic reactions. Then there's another, one more meaning given here. Chatvaratma, which can mean the clear-minded. That means instead of Chaturatma, this name in some commentary not said, who they've given the name Chatvaratma, a different reading, different recension, you can say. so suggests the clear-minded Lord. His mind is very clear because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's always above mundane contaminations of desire and hate, attachment and aversion, mundane egoism, confusion, all the dirty things in the heart, contradictions, although that will come up a little later in discussing Vishnu Sahasranam. There are apparent contradictions, but he's above all that. Hatred, jealousy, envy, he is clear in his mind, clear in his heart, clear in his consciousness, because he's free from all these things. And that's why we are very happy to go on and on discussing the qualities of the Supreme Lord. He is worth talking about. He's worth remembering. He's the one who should be talked about, remembered, served, glorified. And we're doing that by reciting Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. And that's my discussion of the name Chaturatma, name 775, Vishnu Sahasranam. Finished, at least for now. May we go on life after life, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya churnakang padayane patya kritva chakakushatam etad aham bravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu raga ha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumukaro navayang vichara yamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.